three Robert Morris guys starting a men's basketball podcast, making it somehow, some way to their seventh episode. And not just the seventh episode, it's playoff time, making it to their RMU NEC playoff special. This is the Tool Shed. Welcome everyone to the Tool Shed. I'm Logan Carney, your host, along with usual my co-host Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost. And we got a great show today, 1 hour special, so be prepared to spend the next hour with us, because you know this is the premier, the one, the only RMU men's basketball podcast outside of Andy Toll's own show, which is on the same time, believe it or not. We compete with it, and it's, but this one is the Toll Shed. So, you know, he has his own show. He is the Andy Toll Show. Well, we're going to name our show after him too, the Toll Shed.
Yeah, we don't care about that Andy Toll Show.
Once again, I'd like to welcome everyone to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. I'm Logan Carney on the Tool Shed here with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost, as usual, as we do our 1 hour NEC playoff special. Are you guys excited?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I've never been more excited in my entire life.
You guys don't sound that excited. Come on, get pumped.
Let's I am playoffs. So excited. Let's do this.
NEC playoffs, but also today they did announce their award winners, and we're going to go ahead and, in case you don't know, and we'll read you through the NEC playoff teams a little bit later too, but in case you don't know, we got their award winners for this evening, for this year, and we're just going to go ahead and we're going to read them. We'll start at the least important and we'll make our way up. Why not? So we'll start with the awards. We got, you know, Coach of the Year, the Jim Feline Coach of the Year. Bashir Mason for Wagner. I mean, it's going to go to the guy that finishes with the best record. I mean, that's just accepted.
You almost have to expect that.
Great season.
Yeah, they had a great season. They got the one seed in the playoffs. They just about dominated everyone. I don't think they ended up losing at home. I could be wrong, but I don't think they ended up losing at home.
Pretty sure they didn't.
Just a great team Wagner is. And then if Robert Morris gets past this round, that's likely who they're going to face in the second round.
Yeah.
And the Coach of the Year. Most improved player of the year is actually on St. Francis, though. That is Andre Wilford, who is the most improved player of the year. And again, you know, I think you could have argued, you know, Deshaun Burke could have got this too.
Yeah, but he didn't really play bad last year.
He didn't play a lot, but his stats, you know, you could say he definitely improved. Deshaun Burke, you know, I wrote an article about him that maybe we'll get into later, maybe we won't. But the thing that stood out was last year he had 10 games with at least 10 points.
Yeah.
This year he had 10 games with at least 20 points, and he's only scored under 10 points a handful of times. So Deshaun Burke, you know, could have gotten it, but you know Andre Wilford ended up getting it for St. Francis. Defensive Player of the Year, Chris Way, from Mount St. Mary's, one of the players that Robert Morris is going to have to watch for.
Yeah,
he averages, you know, he's second on the team in just about everything over there, in terms of, you know, assists. And, but even more importantly, steals, blocks, you know, what he got for. He led the team in rebounds, 8.5 rebounds per game, which is just a phenomenal number. He's a very underrated performer for Mount St. Mary's when they have the other guy there, too. We'll get into him a little bit later. Rookie of the Year. It's our very own Kobe Thomas from Robert Morris.
Yeah. We love
what to can see you say? What can you say? Kobe Thomas, Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's had some phenomenal games. He's struggled as of late, but you know, he struggled scoring. He still played great defense, so got a lot of rebounds, and then a well-deserved Rookie of the Year. And I really think he's a budding star here at Robert Morris.
Yeah.
And then Player of the Year, we teased him a little bit when we talked about Defensive Player of the Year, but Junior Robinson from Mount St. Mary's, the guy that they're going to have to go, Robert Morris is going to have to go through this week, averaged 22 points per game, you know, just a hands-on, you know, there really wasn't a player that you can make the argument was more valuable than Junior Robinson.
No.
With that towering 5'5" structure, too.
Imposing physical structure.
Amazing that he can be the player of the year in a Division I conference.
All right, so now we're going to break down the all-conference teams. The all-rookie team for the NEC, we got Jonah Antonio from Mount St. Mary's, the guard there. Jaleel Jenkins from Fairleigh Dickinson, another guard. Jalen Jordan, another guard, this time from St. Francis, Brooklyn. Noah Morgan from Fairleigh Dickinson, a forward. And once again, our very own Kobe Thomas. I mean, he got Rookie of the Year. So it's kind of, you know, a spoiler alert that he's going to, you know, get on the all-rookie team.
Yeah, you almost expect that, honestly.
And now here's something interesting. You know, Robert Morris only has one player in all of their all-conference teams, in all three of them. They only have one player. We're going to start, though, with a third-team all-conference for the NEC. Raekwon Clark, my apologies, from LIU Brooklyn.
Raging,
that should be his nickname.
Raekwon Clark.
I love it.
Try saying that five times fast. And then we got Darnell Edge from Fairleigh Dickinson. Adam Grant from Bryant, the guard. Ramon Sanders from Wagner, guard. And Chris Ray from Mount St. Mary's, the forward. Surprised that he only got third team. You know, but he doesn't score a lot. He just averages 9.9 points per game. So a little bit, you know, so probably reason why he's not a big scorer. And then now for second team, Tyler Cole from Central Connecticut, Mike Holloway from Fairleigh Dickinson. And then we got Blake Francis from Wagner, Rasheem Dunn from St. Francis, Brooklyn, and then our very own Deshaun Burke from Robert Morris.
Surprising that he only made second team.
Yeah, first team honors would be.
He has the fourth highest offensive efficiency rating in the conference, so I am pretty shocked that he did not get first team.
Yeah,
but he's still a sophomore. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. You know, hopefully he doesn't go anywhere. You know, the first team definitely got to set his sight. There's only one player, three seniors, one junior, and one sophomore on first team. Now, speaking of first team, we got Keith Braxton from St. Francis, JoJo Cooper from Wagner, Joel Hernandez from LIU Brooklyn, Jamal King from St. Francis, and, of course, Junior Robinson from Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is that St. Francis has two players on there, so when we play them, you're going up against two of the, you know, technically the five best players in all the NCAA.
And if they play, if Robert Morris meets St. Francis, it will most likely be in the championship.
Yeah.
That's with how it is.
The
because
only way it's gonna happen, yeah.
We're gonna talk about the NEC tournament. We're gonna preview every single game from the NEC tournament. And we're just gonna give you the rundown on how the tournament works. So eight teams make the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the eight teams, they're obviously seeded, you know, one faces eight, two faces seven, three faces six, you know, just like any other tournament. The highest remaining seed will take on the lowest remaining seed in the second round, with the second highest remaining seed taking on the third highest remaining seed, or the second lowest remaining seed. And here are the seedings here. So Wagner is going to take on Central Connecticut. That is the 1-8 game. So if Wagner wins, they're going to play the lowest seeded team.
And you almost figured that if Robert Morris would end up winning their game,
they would place Wagner.
They would play Wagner in the semifinals.
Because their next game, the 2 seed versus the 7 seed, Mount St. Mary's is the 2 seed, Robert Morris is the 7 seed. So if Robert Morris upsets Mount St. Mary's and Wagner wins, that's who Robert Morris would face. St. Francis.
Yeah, unless Wagner would somehow lose to Central Connecticut,
which we don't think is going to happen.
Which I don't think there's any way that's going to happen. But it's March Madness, technically.
So it's only February.
Yeah, it's technically
we're going
March
into
Madness.
March, though. We're going into March.
Yeah, the tournament will be over March 6th.
Yeah.
The third game we got, St. Francis, the 3 seed, will be taking on Fairleigh Dickinson, the 6 seed. And then LIU Brooklyn, the 4 seed, is going to be taking on St. Francis Brooklyn, the 5 seed. And again, the highest remaining seed will take on the lowest remaining seed. And the second highest remaining seed will take on the third highest remaining seed. And that's how the playoffs are going to work up until the championship. And you can watch all the games. You can watch this round of games only on NEC Front Row. But next round, you can watch on ESPN3 or NEC Front Row. And the championship will be on ESPN2.
We get that big time ESPN slot. That's what I'm talking about.
It's Tuesday, March 6th.
Prime time, baby, 7 p.m.
You know what surprises me? Why is the men's setup in terms of highest seed plays the lowest seed, but the women's is just, you know, 1 seed would play the 4 or 5 seed if they win? Why is the men's setup highest seed but not the women's?
That is very interesting.
So I think, yeah, that doesn't make sense because, like, the women's kind of makes sense because, like, you kind of want that 1-2 game at the very end for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, like, for the men, it could very easily be Wagner and Mount St. Mary's in the second round. And I don't think that's, like, something you want to see. Or, I mean, it would be a good game to watch, but for ratings, I don't think that's...
And for the... another interesting thing for the men's tournament, the higher seed in the game is going to host it. So, for example, Rob Morris is going to Mount St. Mary's in Maryland this week, whereas Central Connecticut is going to be traveling to Wagner.
Yeah.
And then whoever moves on, so say Robert Morris takes on Central Connecticut in the championship by some, you know, luck, by sheer luck and a miracle, which will probably never happen.
It'll be a PPG Paints Arena.
It'll probably be a PPG Paints Arena. So the whole entire country can see just how great that attendance is at PPG Paints Arena.
They'll see all 450 people at that game.
The seven students that Andy Toll complained about it.
If there is, I mean, they do get deeper in the conference, you should have people there, but you never know.
I mean, I think that if RMU would ever host this game as a championship game, there was going to be people there. You know, there's going to be over 1,000 people there. I'm not too worried about that.
And then now for the NEC Women's Basketball Tournament, this is how the hosting works for that. So the one seed hosts all of the games, hosts the 1-8 game, the 4-5 game, and then the winner of those two games are all being hosted by the one seed. So, for example, if Robert Morris gets the one seed, now they're fighting for the one, or they're most likely going to get a 1 or 2. Robert Morris gets the one seed, they are going for women's, then they will be hosting 3 games at least. Now, the other games, the other 3 games are all hosted by the 2 seed. So the 2 is going to host the 2-7, the 3-6, and then the winner of those 2 games. The championship will be hosted by the higher seed, and that one will be on ESPNU. So you can watch that. Another interesting thing, if you look at, you know, where the games are, the women's, the 1-8 seed is on ESPN. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
I think that that's a typo.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
I don't think...
You think the NEC
I
official...
I highly doubt that...
I don't think that a Wednesday game between the number 1 and 8
it's
seed
like
in
Wednesday
women's
afternoon,
NEC basketball is going to be an ESPN time slot, in my opinion. I think that's a typo. I think they meant to put ESPN 3.
I mean, Wednesday, March 7th, there's probably not that many games going on. That's when most... power teams are going to be in the starting their tournaments. I mean, there's not that many games going on.
I mean, I'd be very surprised if I can watch that game on ESPN.
Well, it says here, and then the other games are the 4-5 will be on ESPN 3, but the 2-7 and the 3-6 aren't on ESPN. And then you look at the semifinals, both of those games will be on ESPN 3 and NEC Front Row, with the championship game being Sunday, March 11th, 2 p.m. on ESPNU.
Yes.
That's probably why it's time TBD. Did you notice that too?
Yeah.
Because it probably is on ESPN. But if there's conflict of interest with other games, they'll probably move the game up. It's not a hard set time.
We'll see what happens.
We'll get an 11 a.m. start.
But we're going to talk about men's basketball here because this is the Tool Shed, and that's what the Tool Shed's all about. Now, guys, we're going to break down every single game. We're going to give our tournament predictions for who we think is going to win. And we're going to start, of course, with our very own Robert Morris versus Mount St. Mary's. Now, the two teams, obviously, you know, they met twice prior to this because every team plays every other team in the conference twice.
Yeah, both games were super ugly for us.
Yeah, Matt, would you like to break down what happened in both of those games?
All right, so when... RMU hosted Mount St. Mary's at PPG Paints Arena. We lost 67-42. And I know you might be like, 25 points. It actually was a lot worse than the score predicted to. Or the
it
score
that,
25.
That
it could be worse
half,
than 25 points. It's
so.
Worse than
25
points.
I remember
that,
the first half,
I think we were down 40-15.
The
first half. And like I said, there was... 5 minutes of the game, I saw there was no hope of winning that game whatsoever. And that was just a very ugly game to sit through and have to watch. And it was a shame. We had a lot, probably the most students of any RMU men's basketball game were at that game at PPG Paints because they were giving out free jerseys for all the students.
That was the free jersey, mate.
So, you know, all the kids that didn't go to any games all year go to one game, watch us lose by 25 points, and I don't think any of them came back. So Andy Tolles, you know, talking to only seven kids at the last game. No one wants to go watch you. They saw one game, and you lost by 25, and we're down by 35 at half. Or down by 25 at half, too.
Yeah.
But it was super ugly, and, you know, we played them at Mount St. Mary's just a couple days ago, and we lost 72-53. So we lost by 19 that game. So if we're talking in terms of what are these games going to look like and what's our hope in going to Mount St. Mary's and winning this game, there's almost a 0% chance if you're looking at just what's happened in the last two games that we've played. Yeah. And that's, you know, something that's very concerning. We play home and we barely average 1,000 people. We barely ever get 1,000 people. I don't think we did one time this season. Usually we're around 500, 600 people. Mount St. Mary's hosted us and almost had 3,000 people at their arena, over 2,900 people. So we're going into a hard environment where we're going to see tons of fans and really good fans at that too.
It's, other than like the Power 5 schools, like the games that we play at Power 5 schools, it's the biggest, one of the biggest crowds we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we played at Mount St. Mary's. There was 2,908 people, and that's a lot of people for a, you know, NEC game. Whenever Pitt hosted Mount St. Mary's earlier in the season, Pitt only drew a little bit over 2,500 people at that game. So Mount St. Mary's having more people at the RMU game than Pitt had against Mount St. Mary's. What's that tell you? And, you know, Pitt's a tough place to play, too. So I'm not looking forward to what we can do down at Mount St. Mary's this upcoming week.
And now that it's conference time, we're even more than that 2,900.
Yeah. It's going to be tough.
Some little more background information on between the two matchups as we get in. Robert Morris has lost the past seven games against Mount St. Mary's with a average point differential of 14.7, so not very
close,
good. Yeah, not very good for the Colonials. Their last win against Mount St. Mary's was January 2nd, 2015, and in that game, it went into overtime with Robert Morris winning 63-59 and sweeping that series. But the overall series between the two teams is 34-32 in favor of Mount St. Mary's. So the Colonials and Mount St. Mary's, while Mount St. Mary's is on a stretch now, they have been pretty even. They both have their stretches of winning long, you know, in a row. But it is almost 50-50 in terms of wins. In fact, before this season started, it was 50-50. It was 32-32 going into this season. As far as it goes, you know, you look at these two teams, and Mount St. Mary's has been strong offensively, very strong offensively. Their offensive efficiency rating, in fact, is number one in conference games out of all the teams in the NEC. Their shooting percentage is 54.3%, and their turnover percentage of 16.4% are 53rd and 42nd in the entire country. All right. And they play a very, you know, slow tempo, very slow-paced tempo to develop plays, and they're just very good at what they do offensively.
Yeah, I mean,
their defense, though, is average can be. Their defense efficiency is 110.6, which is 268th in the country. So that is bottom 100. So it's not a dire situation, but it's by no means a strength. Nowhere near as good as Robert Morris' defense has been this year, which is just outside the top 100 in the country in terms of defense efficiency. But their turnover percentage is second in the conference at 21.2%, and opponent shooting percentage is third in the conference at 49.7%. So as far as Mount St. Mary's goes, they're a lot more of a, you know, balanced team than Robert Morris is. Robert Morris, I mean, we all know about their offensive struggles. Their offensive efficiency rating, 95.6. 95.6. That is 332nd out of 352. That's the 20th worst offense in college basketball. Their 47% shot percentage, 321 in the entire country. They've turned the ball over on 20.7% of their possessions, 300th in the country. And lastly, even free throws, 66.6%, 315th in the entire country.
If I'm Mount St. Mary's, I'm using my whole bench just to foul them all. Get the ball and foul somebody. That's what I'm going to do. Make them beat you at the free throw line because they're not going to.
Yeah. We struggle from the free throw line.
The entire offense has just not been great. Outside of Deshaun Burke, who has been consistent all year, it seems like their offense has struggled. And Robert Morris's team, they have a strong defense. It's the second highest rated defense under coach Andy Toll. It's the 32nd best defense among mid-major schools, 120th in the countries. They have a turnover percentage of 22.8%, which is the 11th best in the country. And opponents are only shooting 32.1% from three-point range, which is 35th in the country. So and they're all top three in the conference with all those stats. Now, Robert Morris, they have had their struggles against Mount St. Mary's. But offensively, this team needs to play. Offensively, this team may not be good enough. I mean, we've seen those two games, and they're struggling games. Offensively, the team might not be able to beat them. So but their defense, you know, can. Their defense is good enough to do it.
Yeah.
Matt, my question to you is, what do you think Robert Morris needs to do? What is one thing that Robert Morris needs to do to win this game?
One thing is to not turn the ball over, because when you look at the stats, like, what has gone wrong whenever we play Mount St. Mary's? And in both games, it was that we had way too many turnovers. In the last game that we just played against Mount St. Mary's, when we lost 72-53, we had 19 turnovers. 19 turnovers is a lot of turnovers. You know, of course, you're going to have those games, but Mount St. Mary's had only 8 turnovers. So we got to force more turnovers and not turn the ball over as much. You know, you consider us a good defensive team, right, Logan? You know, one of the best in the NEC.
One of the best in the country.
Yeah, one of the best in the country. Top 100 at least. We only had 11 points off turnovers in our last game against Mount St. Mary's, and Mount St. Mary's had 30. So Mount St. Mary's had 30 of their 72 points basically because we suck. We sucked and gave them 30 points, basically, is what that comes down to. And whenever your starting point guard, John Williams, has 6 turnovers in one game, whenever Charles Bain has 4 turnovers, when Deshaun has 3, when Kobe Thomas has 2, that does not help you win basketball games. So we have to just limit our turnovers. That is the biggest thing that we can do personally. What's promising about Mount St. Mary's is that they score most of their points off of three-point shots. They score almost 40% of their points off the three. So if you can hopefully, you know, contest their shots, if they miss, that's 40% of their points that they're not going to get. So yeah, as long as we can force some turnovers and, you know, if they can just miss some shots from three-point, we can win this game easily, because it's not a factor of, they might be a better team than us, but we're just making a lot of mistakes. Like, we're kind of beating ourselves out there. And that's, you know, not nice to see, but promising.
Yeah.
As a fan, as a team, as players.
That's kind of like the one bright spot in the whole.
Yeah, did you look?
Grand scheme of things, yeah.
You're not just looking at a game saying, oh man, they beat us, because they're just so much better than us. No, we beat ourselves.
We kind of gave it to them a little
bit. Yeah, and it sucks, you know, you lose the game, and of course that's awful, but going forward, it's kind of nice to see, like, okay, you know.
There is a focal point that you can make to
your team.
For your team.
Mount St. Mary's play full court defense on us, too, and they played the entire game that I watched whenever we played at home. They played the entire game. So, you know, Andy Toole, I think his job out there is make sure that we have a play and a game set, like a game plan, and, you know, something going on, making sure that we can get that ball up the court without.
Yeah, because we have the guys athletically to do that. You know, you have a guy like Kobe that if you can get him run down the floor and pass to him, he can, you know, go inside and throw one down. But I mean, the game that I watched, the most recent game we were watching, is just they missed a lot of like easy layups too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were a couple of times where they would beat the press and get behind the defense and just miss a layup, and you're like, come on.
Yeah, and it comes with, you know, maturity and experience. And, of course, freshmen, especially John Williams, you know, a freshman point guard, he's going to make mistakes out there. You can't expect him to play fantastic all game, but he can play a lot better than he has. And, you know, it being the postseason is super nice.
Well, let me ask another question to you guys. So if you're Coach Andy Toll and you're developing your game plan for this matchup, how much effort are you going to put in to trying to limit Junior Robinson? Because, you know, you look at some of his numbers that he's put up. You know, he's averaged 22 points. you know, but he's also he's very underappreciated around the country because he is one of the most used players in the entire country. In fact, only 29 guys in all of D1 basketball have played more minutes from their team's games this year than Junior Robinson, and he's taking about a third of the team's shots. And outside of Junior Robinson, they're averaging 51.3 points per game, which, you know, for a team overall is not very good. But for including Robinson, they're averaging over 73 points per game because he averages 22 on his own. But then you look at some of the box scores from the last games, and specifically the one that I'm looking at, the last one they played, Junior Robinson only had 11 points. And Rob Moore still got blown out because six guys, including Robinson, scored at least 10 points in that game. So if you're Coach Andy Toll, you're developing your game plan. You're focusing on shutting down the guys around Junior Robinson, or you focus, you assume that Junior Robinson is going to have a good game no matter what you do, or are you focusing on trying to shut down Junior Robinson like you did previously, but a lot of other guys were able to step up and have big games to beat you?
See, for me, what makes Junior Robinson great is that he only had 11 points, which, I mean, that's, and there's only one other player below him with like 10. But I think you have to worry about shutting down the guys around him, because he had 8 assists. And when you can get up towards like double-digit assists, if Junior Robinson double-doubles in this game, the game would be over for Rob Morris. Season's over, game's over. I think you just let him score what he can, but you have to be able to close out on the passes, get in the passing lanes, be the defense that you're supposed to, that statistically you are.
What about you, Matt? What are your thoughts on that question?
The thing about Junior Robinson is that he's not LeBron James. He's not, you know, this 6'9" player, 6'7", whatever LeBron James is, that's going to, you know, physically dominate you. Junior Robinson, of course, is the best player in the NEC, but he's not the most athletic player in the NEC. He's 5'5". So he's not going to be able to shoot over you. So keep your hands up. Don't foul him. He's a great free throw shooter. He's a great shooter in general. I think that you should put Deshaun Burke on him, guard him. Don't let Junior Robinson score. But he's done a pass it. So as long as you can keep one guy on Junior Robinson and you're not letting him get into the paint and then everyone has to collapse on him, because Mount St. Mary's is a great three-point shooting team.
Probably one of the best. Definitely isn't the best in the NEC.
They're up there. I'm going to have to look at that.
They're double check real quick. But as long as we can't get everyone
to collapse, the
are they?
Yeah.
As long as we can't get everyone that collapses on Junior Robinson and he can just dish it out to, of course, all these great players he has that will score over 10 points a game, we can beat them. Because, like I said, he's not going to just drive to the hoop every time, and you know.
He's not the right size to do that. You know,
yeah.
I mean?
So that's obviously a very big weakness for him. And of course, he's the best player in the NEC, but he might not play at, you know, the NBA level because of that reason. And if he can't play for that reason, then you have to take advantage of that.
All right, this is going to be my last question to you guys, because we are running about halfway through our show and we still got 3 more games to talk about and giving our tournament predictions. Actually, two more questions.
Okay.
How important are the two award winners for Robert Morris in this game, and Deshaun Burke and Kobe Thomas, and how they need to step up? You know, we got to talk about them because they are the only award winners for Robert Morris. And besides those two, is there somebody else on this team that you think needs to step up will step up to beat Mount St. Mary's in the game against Mount St. Mary's? Luke, I'll ask you first.
For me, I mean, I've always been one of those guys that individual awards don't mean anything if your team's not winning games. So, I mean, for Kobe to win Rookie of the Year, that's good for him. But as far as the team goes, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, he could be going out there and averaging 30 points a game, but if his team's losing.
But how important is it for him and Deshaun to step up? And do you think that?
Oh, they have to. It's the only way this team's gonna win is if they need a big game from Kobe Thomas, Deshaun Burke, Matty McConnell, and John Williams.
All four of them.
All four of them have to be there and make their presence known.
See, I agree with you in the way, but I think John Williams does need to have a major game. I think John Williams plays decent; they'll be fine. But I do agree with you in that the other three that you mentioned, Kobe Thomas, Matty McConnell, and Deshaun Burke, all need to step up. I think Burke will. I'm a little bit worried about the other two. I'm not too worried about Burke. I'm a little bit worried about you, about the other two stepping up and performing, at least on the scoreboard. I know Thomas will be there getting rebounds, and I know Maddie will be there defensively, but if they're not there offensively, then this game's not going to matter much. Matt, your thoughts on that question?
I disagree about the John Williams. I think that, of course, Deshaun Burke has to have a great game. I think he has to score at least 20 points for us to win this game, and Kobe Thomas has to – I think that he has to shoot at least 40% from the field to win, because – the games that we lose, it always seems that Kobe Thomas is just not playing well. And I think that he's a super big piece to our, you know, our winning. But I think John Williams might be the most, one of the most important players, because he's, you know, directly against the best player in the NEC.
So question, you think John Williams needs to step up, have a big game, and not Matty McConnell. Is that what you're saying?
I think that we don't win.
To win?
Yes, I think that we need John Williams to play better. Matty McConnell, as long as he's not going to shoot 1-for-8 from three, because even whenever Matty McConnell plays well, it doesn't necessarily mean that we win. I just think that if Matty McConnell plays super bad, then we lose. But yeah, it's not that we need him to step up. I think John Williams, because he's going up against Junior Robinson, I think he's the best three-point shooter on our team. He shoots over 42%. John Williams will be going up against, like I said, Junior Robinson. And he needs to just make sure to limit his turnovers. Like I said, he had 6 last game.
He needs to be smart.
He needs to be smart. Play smart. That doesn't necessarily mean that he has to score. And by saying he has to have a great game doesn't mean that he has to score 15, 20 points.
No, but he has to facilitate the offense in an efficient way.
He doesn't need to have the great stats. It's like, I just want to see no more than 2 turnovers from him in the game. I want to see him just shoot well from the field if he takes the shots when he's open. But he needs to just play like a consistent great point guard can play.
All right, and I'm going to ask you guys both this. Just give your score predictions. Who do you think is going to win? No reasoning why. Just give us your score predictions. Who do you think is going to win? Matt, go.
I think Mount St. Mary's wins 74-58.
Luke?
I like 74. I'm going to say 74-63, Mount St. Mary's.
I'm going to say it looks like we're all taking Mount St. Mary's. Our experts here, Rob Morris. I'm going to say I'm going to go a little bit lower than you guys, though. I'm going to say 71-59. I'm going to think it's going to be a little bit closer. 12-point victory from Mount St. Mary's. I think they'll pull away in the second half. Now we're going to move on, though, to our next game as we're going to break down the entire NEC conference playoffs. And our next game is, of course, the top team in the conference, Wagner, taking on Central Connecticut State. And, guys, I just got to ask you this question to start it off. Matt, I'll start with you as usual. Do you think Central Connecticut State has a chance against Wagner?
No.
Why?
Wagner doesn't lose at home, and Central Connecticut State is not a good team. I personally don't even think they deserve to be in this tournament, because I don't think there's a chance that they could win. I don't think they could beat any other team.
They just need 8 teams to throw in there.
Well, do you think every other team in the tournament besides Central Connecticut State has a chance to win?
I think that Mount St. Mary's and St. Francis PA have a super good chance to beat Wagner at home, but I don't think that Central Connecticut State can do it. I don't think that they can match up physically, you know, in terms of shooting and size against Wagner and beat them.
Wagner's a powerhouse. I agree. There's no chance that Central Connecticut State has against Wagner.
You know, you look at some of these numbers now. They're similar to Robert Morris in some of these numbers. Their offensive efficiency is higher than Robert Morris, actually. Their defensive efficiency is a little bit lower than Robert Morris, 104.4 to about 103, which is what it was for the Colonials. So Central Connecticut, as much as their record goes against them, and their record has not been, you know, that great this year. But as much as Central Connecticut's record goes against them at 14-8 and 7-11 in conference, 7-11 in conference. You know, a lot of that, you know, the difference between them and Robert Morris is, you know, Robert Morris had that great stretch at the beginning when they were 6-2, you know, to start out conference play. The thing is about Central Connecticut is they've bounced around. You know, they started out 1-4, and then they won 4 in a row, and then they lost 5 in a row, 6 in a row, and then they won another one. And then they lost, and then they won, and they finished 7-11 and just barely made it into the tournament.
Yeah, but
time out. I'm looking at Central Connecticut's schedule right here. They beat Robert Morris. Then they lost to Wagner by 2. And yes, then they beat St. Francis, New York.
So, yeah, their two games against Wagner, they lost by 13-2.
So, I mean,
They're a team that they're not.
Not
their
a record, believer.
Their record makes them look worse than what they are. They're a very similar team to Robert Morris. And you said, you know, you said the reasoning was you don't think they should. They're the only team that you think they shouldn't be in the tournament because you think that they can't win. So that must mean you think the other teams that are similar to Robert Morris and Central Connecticut can also win. So why can't Central Connecticut win if they're just as good as the other teams? Their record just says otherwise. But they have played
good and they've in these got games. Beaten by some good teams. Yeah, like, they've played some tough competition, non-conference wise.
So Luke, my question to you is, you know, what are your thoughts on the game? You said you're starting to believe in Central Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm a little believer now. I mean, I think anytime you know you can go into a game because they only lost by two at Wagner, which is kind of amazing because we talked about. Home field advantage.
No, that game was actually home. They lost by 13.
They lost by 13. But even losing by 13 is not that bad.
To Wagner, that's still good. For Wagner's a very good team.
Yeah.
Better than we expected.
I mean, they only lost by two. They lost by 13 before. Like, this is, I don't know, like, statistically it shouldn't make sense. But there's just something about the way this team has played recently that just... You look at it and you're going like, okay, this team, like they took St. Francis PA to overtime. Like this.
I will like to correct something. I did say that St. Central Connecticut's defense was better than how it is. I'm looking at the numbers now. I was actually reading Wagner's defense. St. Central Connecticut State's defense is actually 286 in the country. Their efficiency is 111.5. So, but Luke, continue what you're saying.
I mean, like just... Like I said something last week that, you know, I didn't have any stats to back up. Like, this is one of those things that there's just something that I have a feeling. March is always a time in basketball where you can kind of just throw everything out the window. And I think this is going to be one of those games.
Are you telling me that Central Connecticut State is going
there's
to win?
There's a chance.
Okay.
There's a chance.
Okay, Luke.
I think there's a difference between saying they're going to win and there's a chance. I give Central Connecticut, I think they can pull it off. I don't think the NEC is that strong of a conference. I don't think any of the teams in the NEC, I mean, regardless like, of how good you are that much better than the other teams.
Let's just think about basketball as a whole in the NCAA right now. Nobody has a thumb on the pulse of the NCAA. Like, minus all the scandals and all that, but like just game-wise, there's been teams that are getting beat that should be getting beat, and this could be one of those games.
All right, and looking at the numbers, we're just going to – give our quick prediction here. Move on to the next game. Matt, prediction, score, who's going to win?
Wagner beats Central Connecticut State 72-59.
68-65, Central Connecticut.
Oh, he's calling the upset. I'm taking him. You're calling the upset. Keep track of who you guys are picking, too, because we're going to pick a tournament winner in the end. I'm gonna go closer to. Interesting how you picked Central Connecticut to beat Wagner, but not Robert Morris to beat. You got Robert Morris getting blown out by Mount St. Mary's, but I'm gonna go with Wagner winning. I'm gonna think it's be a little bit closer than what you said, Matt. I think it's gonna be a higher scoring game. I'm gonna go 73-62. Okay. So again, 11-point victory, which is pretty much what I picked for the other game too. But 11-point victory, but Wagner moves on is what I have them.
You know, and I'll be rooting for Central Connecticut State this entire time. So,
well, I'll pick them right now.
I might be picking Wagner, but I'm rooting for Central Connecticut State. Right. And I think every Colonial fan will be rooting.
I think everybody except for Wagner is rooting for Wagner to lose.
I agree.
So we're going to move on to our next game. In our next game, we have Fairleigh Dickinson versus St. Francis, the 3-6 seed. St. Francis being the 3 seed, of course, Fairleigh Dickinson, the 6 seed. Now, this game, you look at some of the numbers, and this is the interesting part. While Fairleigh Dickinson's offense is by no means that great, 102.1 offensive efficiency rating, 243rd in the country, St. Francis's defense, 278th in the country, 110.9 defense efficiency. And then you look at the other side, St. Francis's offense, 133rd in the country, in terms of offensive efficiency, 108.2, and defensive efficiency for Fairleigh Dickinson, 312th in the country, 113.4. So this game looking to be a more of the higher scoring games out there. Matt, what are your initial thoughts when you look at this game?
You know, I never thought Fairleigh Dickinson was that great of a team, but just by looking at their stats and, you know, they've won a couple, you know, big games this year.
I mean, they finished higher than Robert Morris did.
Yeah,
exactly.
I never really looked at them as a dominant team, but
well, they did start off 2-5. That's probably why they finished 9-9.
Yeah, they got off to a rough start at the beginning of the season, but you know, they did end up beating Wagner at home. So that's, you know, you have to be a pretty good team to beat Wagner. I mean, yeah. RMU didn't do that. They lost twice. So, but I still think St. Francis PA is a super great team. They can really score at will. So that's always, you know, they even put up 67 points against Duke, even though they gave up 124. This is St. Francis PA. They still put up over 65 points against Duke.
Yeah, they also put 70 spot on Duke, which is amazing.
All right, Luke, who do you have winning this game?
I got St. Francis winning this game. I'm going to stick with the high seed here.
And your reasoning? What are your thoughts on the game?
It's going to be a slugfest, I think, as far as like offense goes. And I think that St. Francis has more firepower than Farley Dickinson.
I mean, they got Andre Wilford, Keith Braxton, Jamal King. You know,
it's really going to come down who misses the least amount of shots.
Yeah, St. Francis' offense, deep team. They have the most star power in the conference. I think we can all agree with that. As good as Wagner is playing together, St. Francis has the most star power in their team. Jamal King, one of the top players in the conference. You know, you could make the argument that he should have been NEC Player of the Year. You know, you got Andre Wilford, you got Keith Braxton. You know, a very, very great players. So, Luke, I'm going to come back to you. How important is it for, you know, we talked about this with Robert Morris. Does St. Francis win if one of those guys has a bad game? If one of those guys struggles and doesn't, you know, put up more than 10 points, shoots very poorly, like goes 2-for-9 from three points or something like that. Does St. Francis win if one of their big three, specifically more Jamal King or Keith Braxton? Does St. Francis win if one of those guys struggle?
If Keith Braxton and Jamal King struggle, one or both of them, then no, they don't win. They can get by with just Jamal King, Keith Braxton, I think, in this game. But if those two struggle, or even just one of them struggle, there's no hope for them.
What about you, Matt? Your thoughts on that question?
I disagree. I think that as long as one of them plays well, because they're both such great players, two of the best five players in the NEC. You looked at the old Miami Heat team, even whenever, you know, Dwayne Wade struggled, LeBron James still picked up the slack and won, and, you know, vice versa. And
they also lost in the championship when just LeBron struggled.
Yeah, but then they also won, two times?
Yeah, so. But all of them played good those years.
Yeah, Chris Bosh was there too, if you're not him.
I'm just saying, I still think that St. Francis can win the game if one of them plays well.
So if Jamal King comes up and plays poorly and shoots poorly, you still have St. Francis winning?
I mean, if Jamal King shoots 0-for-15 from the field, then we're talking different. But if he struggles from the field, you know, only makes two or three shots, then I still think that Keith Braxton and Andre Wilford can pick up the slack and beat Fairleigh Dickinson.
All right. My next question to both of you: who do you have winning? What's your score? I'll start with you, Matt.
I'm gonna go Fairleigh Dickinson wins this game.
St. Francis will win if one of them struggles.
I think both of them are struggling.
That is a bold prediction. What's your score?
I think it's gonna be a shootout. I think that Fairleigh Dickinson wins the game 85-82.
Wow, I was going like 78.
That's not that far off, Luke, when you think about it. 7 points. Luke, who do you have winning?
St. Francis 78-72 for the Dickinson.
I'm going to take the higher seed again. I'm going St. Francis, but I think it's going to be 84-76.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a shootout, but I just don't see Jamal King struggling, and I don't see Keith Braxton struggling. I think St. Francis, against one of the worst defenses in the country, I think it's what we have to consider. Fairleigh Dickinson is bottom 50 in the entire country in defense.
Why Fairleigh Dickinson's putting up 85 points.
You got to compliment somewhere else.
They have to, if they want to beat St. Francis.
All right, we're going to look at our last game before we talk about the tournament as a whole. It's going to be St. Francis Brooklyn versus LIU Brooklyn. So this
battle in New York.
Yeah, not really a home court advantage here with these two teams. LIU Brooklyn's probably very upset with St. Francis Brooklyn finishing there. Probably a, oh, there's going to be a lot of St. Francis Brooklyn there. It's not really home court. It doesn't really matter.
Across the street from each other.
A little bit of background on the two teams. Both teams, neither having a top 200 offense or top 200 defense. Or I was sorry, I rephrased that. Neither team having a top 200 offense or a top 300 defense. LIU Brooklyn, their offense, 208th in the country in offense efficiency, 104.1. St. Francis, New York, 100.8. That's 258th in the entire country in offense efficiency. LIU Brooklyn, their defense, 313th, 113.4 defensive efficiency. St. Francis, New York, 300th exactly on the dot in defensive efficiency, 112.6. So really, this is the battle of the bottom 100s. LIU Brooklyn, the 200, according to KenProm.com, which is basically the key leader in college basketball advanced analysis. LIU Brooklyn, 271st best team. St. Francis Brooklyn, 296th. So these, believe it or not, these are two of the, even though they're 4 or 5 seed, these are two of the lower teams rated, you know, in the tournament. This is probably going to be a very struggling game. And they got some good players, you know, Joel Hernandez, one that sticks out to me. Jalen Jordan, Rasheem Dunn, very good player for St. Francis, New York, or St. Francis, Brooklyn, my apologies. Matt, when you look at these numbers right here, you look at two teams that really have struggled on both sides of the ball this year, but still managed to put together solid seasons in terms of winning, win-loss. That's why they're in the tournament. Who do you think is going to, you know, who do you think is not going to play worse and win the game?
First of all, I think it's really cool that two teams from Brooklyn are playing against each other in like a, you know,
a big matchup.
A very, very big matchup. Important game, I think that's really cool. I think that LIU Brooklyn has the advantage in this game because they have Joel Hernandez, who is by far one of the most experienced players in all the NEC. He's a redshirt senior. You don't see too many of those in the Northeast Conference. And then they also have a guy that's on second team, even though St. Francis Brooklyn does. But I think that, you know, I think experience actually might help them win this game against St. Francis Brooklyn. And, of course, it being a rivalry game, Utes bets every, you know, big-name player to step up and, you know, play as well as they can.
So what's your score do you have?
I think that LIU Brooklyn wins this game. And I think that they win this game 79-72.
I have LIU Brooklyn 76-68.
Well, why do you have that?
I just think, I mean, the experience thing comes in. I think down the stretch in this game, it's going to be close, but there's going to be a little bit of a run late made by LIU Brooklyn, just kind of separate it and kind of ride on to the second round.
You know, those games with those seeds, the 4-5 seeds, you know, 8-9s in the actual tournament, those are the most difficult ones to predict. They're almost 50-50 in the NCAA tournament. I'm finally taking the lower seed. I'm going St. Francis Brooklyn. I think Rasheem Dunn's gonna have a big game. I think St. Francis Brooklyn's gonna pull it out. It's not gonna be that much of a home court advantage for LIU Brooklyn. And
it's,
I'm gonna say they win
advantage for anybody.
79-66. I don't think it's gonna be as close as you guys say. All right, so now we're going to do our predictions for the tournament as a whole. Matt, now you had Wagner winning, and the lowest seed that you had winning was Fairleigh Dickinson. So your next matchup, Wagner, Fairleigh Dickinson. Who do you have?
Wagner.
By what score?
I still have Wagner winning 75-57. I think that's not going to be a very close one against those two teams.
All right, Matt, and we're going to just move on to your next one. We'll do you first. So you have on your next matchup, you're going to have LIU Brooklyn taking on Mount St. Mary's. Who do you have winning?
Wait, what was the matchup?
Mount St. Mary's on against LIU Brooklyn.
I think that Mount St. Mary's will destroy LIU Brooklyn.
What's your score?
I think that Mount St. Mary's puts up 84 points. Yes, I think LIU Brooklyn only puts up 64 points.
I mean, 20 the defense isn't good.
I'm thinking that the first round games are going to be more interesting than the second round games.
And a slugfest for the whole thing.
All right, your final game, Wagner, Mount St. Mary's. Who do you have going to the big tourney?
I am picking Mount St. Mary's to win.
At Wagner, too. Let's keep that in mind.
I'm going to think that Wagner, they have struggled the last couple years in terms of putting together great teams and winning in the postseason. They lose. I mean, they lost at a buzzer beater last year. It was on ESPN, a top 10 play against St. Francis, PA. They're one of the best teams at home, but they cannot seem to put it together and make a run in the postseason to make it to the NCAA. And I think that Mount St. Mary's having the best player in the NEC, it statistically maybe one of the most dominant players in his conference of any conference in the country, I think that that really will speak up to making Mount St. Mary's beat Wagner.
And your score?
It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be 75-72.
All right, Luke, now we're going to move to you. Now, you had Central Connecticut upsetting Wagner, so your highest seed is going to be Mount St. Mary's
versus Central Connecticut.
Versus Central Connecticut State. Who do you have winning?
Oh, Mount St. Mary's.
Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, I think the Cinderella Magic's going to be over after one.
You can't pit Central Connecticut State to win and then have them lose in the next round of Mount St. Mary's.
You have to. They can catch Wagner on an off day, but they're not going to catch Mount St. Mary's.
And what's your score?
It's going to be like 78-54.
And now you have your next game. You have St. Francis taking on LIU Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning that game?
St. Francis.
And your score?
71-63.
Now you have St. Francis taking on Mount St. Mary's in the championship. Who do you have winning?
Mount St. Mary's.
And your score?
68-64.
All right. Now, guys, so you have Mount St. Mary's winning it all just like Matt.
Yep.
Well, guys, my tournament, even though my first round seemed pretty tame with, you know, three of the four top seeds winning. My rest of my tournament is going to be pretty crazy, just like I guess at this time.
Let's hear it.
My next game is going to be Wagner versus St. Francis Brooklyn. Guess who I have winning that game?
St. Francis Brooklyn.
St. Francis Brooklyn is going to upset Wagner.
Wagner making it.
78-72.
Okay.
Wagner getting bounced in the second round. Interesting that only one of us three has Wagner going to the championship. All right. None of us have Wagner winning despite being by far the best team in the regular season. So St. Francis Brooklyn upsetting Wagner 78-75 at home. I think Wagner's due for a loss at home. I think they're due. They didn't have one this year. That's just my firm belief.
They're going to get caught.
My firm belief is that they're due. All right. My next game, Mount St. Mary's versus St. Francis. While Mount St. Mary's has the best player in the conference, St. Francis has the best three. St. Francis is going to upset Mount St. Mary's at Mount St. Mary's.
Okay, it's a 2-3 upset. 68, not a big deal.
68-62. It's going to be a lower scoring.
Battle of St. Francis going on for the whole thing.
It's
going
to be close. Yes. Dang. In my championship, I have St. Francis, St. Francis. St. Francis University taking on St. Francis Brooklyn at St. Francis University. Isn't that a mouthful?
Please tell me you have St. Francis U beating them, right?
Yes. Okay. I have St. Francis University winning. I think they're big three, really. They're more especially their big two. It's just going to be too much for St. Francis Brooklyn to stop. Like you said, similar to how you have Central Connecticut State losing in the second round because they caught Wagner on an off day, I think that's going to be why St. Francis Brooklyn upsets Mount St. Mary's. I'm sorry, St. Francis Brooklyn upsets Wagner, too. I think they're going to catch Wagner on an off day. Like you said, Wagner usually has these great teams, but then gets bounced in the tournament. I think they're going to get bounced in the tournament a little bit earlier. They're not going to make it past the second round. It's going to be St. Francis. And that's not even just a prediction. That is a fact of what's going to happen. It's going to be St. Francis in the championship.
The real question is, come Selection Sunday, are they 15 seeds or 16 seeds?
If it's not Wagner winning, I think they'll be a 15 seed.
15.
I'm sorry, 16 seed. 16
okay, will
seed.
They be a play-in 16 seed or just straight 16?
I don't know. I think there'll be a straight in 16 seed. I don't know who they're gonna play, but that is a difficult question. I think if Wagner wins, they'll be a 15 seed because how good Wagner was in the regular season. But with my prediction, with my St. Francis prediction, they're gonna be a 16 seed. Matt, what do you think?
I think that no matter what team comes out of the NEC playoffs, they're going to be a play-in game. I think that's just kind of how it's been with the NEC since RMU was the 15 seed whenever they lost to Villanova.
What do you think, 15 or 16 play-in game?
16 play-in game. Yeah, I think that even Wagner having such a dominant season, and if they win the tournament, I still don't think that'll correlate to a 15 seed.
What if they dominate throughout the tournament?
That's still.
Do you think you'd still put them at 16? You wouldn't move them up if they dominated the tournament?
I still would keep them at a 16 seed.
Now, if every single team gets banned from the tournament with the FBI, Wagner may be a 1 seed when all said and done. Robert Morris may be a 6 seed.
That's what we're hoping for out here.
What major D1 team has been called out yet?
All right, Luke, your thoughts. Who do you have, 15, 16 seed for your winner, Mount St. Mary's?
When Mount St. Mary's gets to the tournament, they're going to be a play-in game for 16 seed, which they'll probably win. But I think if Wagner gets in, they'll be a 16 seed, no play-in game. That's how I see it. And if any team other than Wagner gets to the tournament, they'll be a play-in.
Now, at one point, when Rob Morris was undefeated in conference, ESPN had them at a 14 seed.
Yeah.
So you don't think the experts are going to be high on Wagner when Robert Morris has won, when won the conference with over 20 wins. Just using them as reference, they've been 15 seeds team. Wagner has over 20 wins. You still think they're going to be a 16 seed? You don't think that's going to bounce them up to a 15 seed?
I just think it's the strength of schedule. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things.
Because we're assuming that the team that wins the conference tournament is the number one seed in their conference, in their respective playoffs. That's not going
to
happen.
That's how it's supposed to work, yeah.
That's not going to happen every single time. There's going to be teams with records much worse than Wagner in similar conferences that win the tournament. Because that's just the reality of college basketball, and that's why college basketball has the best tournaments, because that's just the reality of how things work, is that players choke, and the team that wins it ends up being, the sixth seed in the conference champion in the conference playoffs. So if everything works out, if every single one seed wins their conference championship, then yes, Wagner will be a play-in game for a 16 seed. Because reality is, the NEC, I think, is the third worst conference in all of college basketball.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it might be the worst college conference overall,
not just college basketball.
I think the NEC overall is the worst conference in college sports, in Division I college sports, at least. Reality is, I don't think every one seed's gonna win.
No,
I don't think there's gonna be a 4-0 seed that wins the conference.
March Madness.
Well, I think
there's gonna be a 6 seed that wins.
Even last year, there was a team that was under 500 that made the tournament.
Yeah, there's a team with 11 wins last year that made the tournament.
Yeah, so I mean, anything. So Wagner could be a 15 seed if you go to every single conference and a bunch of teams that have no business being in the NCAA tournament make it.
It's like when UConn got in, when the whole thing, they had no business getting out of the Big East, but they did.
Yeah, I mean,
and they went on to win it all.
Yeah, stuff like that. But I think that if things kind of play out like they should play out, not like how they're going to, then Wagner probably will be a 16 seed. But if you see some bad teams win, they could be a 15 seed, especially with all their dominance from the regular season.
Well, guys, we did it.
A fun year. We'll see y'all next season. They ain't winning tomorrow.
Wow.
Don't worry about that, though. Don't say goodbye, Luke, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We talked it over. It's looking like, barring any final decisions, this show is going to continue for the rest of the school year because college basketball is something we can talk about for the rest of the school year. You really think we're not, even with Robert Morris doesn't win?
Some off-season tool shed.
You think we're not going to be talking March Madness with you? You think we're not going to do that just because Robert Morris might not be in it?
We will have so much to talk about when RMU upsets Mount St. Mary's tomorrow. And we are back here. Junior Robinson shoots 0 for 11 from the field. And RMU
shoots like 6 for 6 from behind you.
Yeah, we blow him out by 15. I think that's.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you guys for being with me this year in the premier Robert Morris basketball podcast, The Toll Shed. But I also like to thank all you listeners out there that stayed with us from the very first episode to our 1 hour special. This has been the Toll Shed here on Army Radio, your campus, your voice, and there will be another episode. We'll be back next week for a 30-minute episode, unless Robert Morris pulls it off. Maybe we'll do another hour, but I'm sorry, 2 weeks. That's right. We got my Matt's reminding me here. 2 weeks. We got spring break coming up, but 2 weeks we will be back. And maybe we'll do an hour episode if Robert Morris makes it to the championship.
When they do.
When they do make it. But until then, I'm Logan Carney, joined with always Matt Kurtzick and Luke Yost, signing off for the last time after regular season basketball play in the NEC. We'll see you in 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go, Bobby Moe. Yes, Clyde, Rick Barry, and Pistol Pete. Now these players could never be beat. Isaiah and Iceman too. Just give them the ball, and then you talk up.